Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we praise you, Lord, that you are a God that answers prayers, that you listen to us, that we can petition you, and that we should be praying for one another and bearing one another's burdens. We also praise you, Lord, for your word. And as we open up your word this morning, I just pray that you would speak to us, Lord, and that you would move among us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we have been in Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 through 23 for quite some time. We continue to be there this morning. And if you remember, as Christ is teaching in Matthew chapter 6, he is telling the disciples to lay up treasures in heaven. Matthew 6:19 says, "Do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal." It's a comparison between materialism and the eternal. And not only are we told to focus on the eternal, but there is a promise of reward as we lay up. We're not just giving up. We are storing up treasures for ourselves in heaven. Christ in Revelation 22:12 says, "Behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give everyone according to his work." Heaven is not pass-fail. Heaven is not communistic. There are rewards in heaven. And we have that promise from the Lord Jesus Christ himself. So this is a very important topic, laying up treasure. And it's so important that Christ gives us three tests. Three benchmarks, if you will, after he tells us to lay up. The first test was the test of the heart, which we studied in verse 21. He says, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." When we studied verse 21, we referenced the parable of the rich man found in Luke chapter 12. And if you remember the parable of the rich man, he had so much that he asked himself in verse 17 of Luke 12, "What shall I do since I have no room to store my crops?" So he said, "I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there I will store all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, 'Soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'Fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided?' So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God." That's a study of a materialistic life, isn't it? Unfortunately, that's a study of our society. Our society is focused on the short term, focused on the material. And with that focus, they lose sight that we are mortals and that one day we will stand before a living God and we will give an account. That's us as believers as well. Not an account for our sins, but we will give an account of how we have lived our life as Christians here on this earth. Laying up, having an eternal focus, is such an important aspect of the Christian life. When you look at the parable of the rich man in Luke 12 and you compare it to Paul in Philippians chapter 3, in verse 3 of that chapter, said, "For we are the circumcision, who worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh, though I might also have confidence in the flesh. If anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin. A Hebrew of the Hebrews, concerning the law of Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning righteousness which is in the law, blameless. Paul ran down his resume before he met the Lord Jesus Christ. And then in verse 7 he says, "But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellent knowledge of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ." See, not only did Paul say that his past life was rubbish, but he said, "I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord." He said, "I count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ." See, Paul passed the heart test. He wasn't into materialism. He was into Christ. His focus was on Christ. And through that, his heart was for Christ. Well, that's the heart test. That's what we discussed last time. Now, let's go to the second test. The second test is the test of the mind. That's found in verse 22 of Matthew 6. It says, "The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness?" Now you may be saying to me, "Well, I thought you said mind." Christ is talking about the eye. What Christ is referring to is how we look at things. Our perspective. What do we think about? What are we consumed with? Do we think about Christ? Do we think about His kingdom? Do we think about how we can serve Him and serve others and have a testimony about Christ through our service to others? Do we think about that? Or are we fixated on materialism, our desires, our passions? Or does our passion lie with Christ? It's a very important question. And what I'm going to do today is to outline the promises that we have in Scripture regarding our mind and how we should live as believers and how we should think. First of all, being obsessed with the here and now and of our own earthly desires is a sign of being an unbeliever. An unbeliever. Turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. And as Paul writes the church of Ephesus, he points out a sign of being an unbeliever. Ephesians 2, verse 1, and it says, "In you He made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as others. Our life before Christ, obsessed with fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. Of the mind. Now, when we accept Jesus Christ, we aren't rehabilitated. We're regenerated. We're new. And in fact, if you look back at the very first part of Ephesians chapter 2, he says, He made you alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. Now, I think we'll all agree that you can't go out here to the graveyard and you can't rehabilitate anybody, can you? They're dead. They're past being rehabilitated. Right? Well, that's how we are before Christ. We're dead. We're dead in our sins. We're not rehabilitated. We're regenerated. We're new. We've been made new. And being new, we get a new mind. A new mind. Not only do we get a new mind, it's not just a reset. And I think that's important. As we look at the Christian life, it's not that we get a new mind and then God says, Monty, okay, now we're going to start over. And then I'm starting over in my own strength. It doesn't work that way. See, not only do we get a new mind, but that new mind is different. It's different. Turn with me to Romans chapter 8. In Romans chapter 8, starting in verse 1, it says, There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made us free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit of life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. A new mind, a different mind, and one of the marks of having a different mind is that we think about different things. Because it says in verse 5 of Romans 8, For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. It makes me extremely worrisome when people say, Well, you know, I'm kind of shy about my faith. I don't like to talk about that. It's just something I just don't talk about. It. I believe it, but you know, I just don't want to talk about it. My friends, if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, if you actively live your faith, if you read your Bible, if you pray, you can't help but talk about it. Now, that doesn't mean that you change your personality. If you're a quiet person, guess what? You're a quiet Christian. If you are a vivacious person, you're still a vivacious person and you're vivacious for the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not talking about a personality change. What we're talking about here is a mind change. And one of the things that we should look to in our Christian life to keep us in check as we live in a world that is drowning in materialism, in self, in the temporal, is to ask ourselves, what are we talking about? What are we talking about? What's our perspective? Well, you've got a mind. You got to use it. God gives us a mind. He gives us a different mind. But we got to use it. So many believers live their life according to cruise control. They're just, yeah, I believe in the Lord Jesus. But they don't pick up the Bible. They don't read their Bible. They don't attend Bible study. They don't attend church. They're just wanting to just cruise through life. That's not what God tells us to do. God tells us that we should renew our mind. Renew our mind. Turn with me to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, starting in verse 1. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Let's talk about that in relationship to our mind, first of all, in light of the call to give our life as a sacrifice. First of all, God says it's reasonable. God's not asking us to do anything that is unreasonable. It's reasonable for us to live a sacrificial life for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I will have people say, well, I really don't have time to go to church. I'm too busy to go to church. I'm too busy to read my Bible. I'm too busy to work in His kingdom. Is that a sacrificial life? No. We're all busy, aren't we? Every single one of us here is busy. We all have things to do. Every single one of us. We could go through our laundry list of everything that we need to get done. In order for you to live a sacrificial life, what you have to do is say, Lord, you are more important than the things that I have to get done. Is that unreasonable? Is that unreasonable to look at God who sent His Son, who gave His life for us on the cross, to say, God, I'm going to be there at worship. I'm going to be there at Bible study. I'm going to pray. I'm going to read. People tell me they don't have time to read the Bible, but yet invariably they can tell me what they're watching on TV during the week. Nothing wrong with watching TV, but if you've got time to watch TV, you've got time to read your Bible. It's important. And when you think about, if you are basing your Christian walk on the time that you are here, you are doomed for failure. A 40-minute sermon a week is not enough. And if you're not here every week, it's surely not enough. Because every single day when you get up, the enemy is bombarding you with images. You turn on the TV, you're told what to buy. You are told what to do. You are told how to live. You are told what is the definition of a good time. You are told, what is the definition of success in the world's eyes? And the only way to counteract that is to have your mind renewed. And what Christ is saying here is he's saying, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, focus on the eternal, on the things that matter. And the way that you check yourself is first check your heart, and second of all, check your mind. And if your passion and desires, and if your mind is not set upon me, then you are not living the life that God wants you to live. It's simple. It's not complicated. It's not complicated at all. In fact, as Paul describes it, it is reasonable. It is reasonable that we present our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. Now, just paint a mental image there just for a moment. As you presenting your body at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if you were going to do that, you want to be your best, don't you? Are you giving God your best, or are you giving Him your leftovers? See, I would contend with you that we have lived in a church society for the last 20, 30 years that is sick. Because we have been told over and over again this lie of cheap grace. A lie of cheap grace. Just come on down front, say a few things, and then live however you want, and you're going to get to go to heaven. You'll never, ever, ever find that in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ said that if you want to be a disciple of His, that you have to pick up your cross. That you have to what? Deny yourself. Are you living a life of self-denial? Which means, are you controlling your mind in what you think about in the kingdom of God? We have to renew our mind. We've been given a new mind. We've been given a different mind. We've been told to renew that mind. Well, that leads us to our next verse, which is in Hebrews 4. The importance of Hebrews 4 in relationship to today's message is that we could all sit here at the end of service and we go, well, I'm going to go out and I'm going to renew my mind. I'm going to do it. I'm going to make myself a better person. Well, if we could do that, we wouldn't need Jesus, right? Jesus wouldn't have had to die on the cross. The Pharisees and the Sadducees would have been the great people in the community because they had all the law, but Christ did not esteem them, right? Because they were a bunch of legalists. They were hypocrites. So how do we renew our mind? Look at verse 11. It says, let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The Bible is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. In other words, my friends, the way that you renew your mind is by picking up the Bible and being a student of the Bible and reading the Word. You come to church, you hear the Word preached. You come to Wednesday night, you hear a Bible study taught. You're at home, you read the Word. You got to have the Word. You got to have it. That's how your mind is renewed. Think about it this way. If you never pick up your Bible and you don't read it, and Monday through Sunday, you read all the magazines that you want to read, You watch all the TV that you want to watch. You look at all the movies that you want to watch. And you don't have anything that is placed in your mind concerning the Word of God. Are you going to be able to live an effective Christian life? You're not, are you? Because more of the world is coming in to your mind than the things of God. And that's the problem that we have today in society. And I'm talking about church society. We have believers that have stopped reading the Word, stopped being a student of the Word. And I'm not talking about fluff. There's a lot of Bible studies out there that's fluff. I'm talking about doctrine, application, understanding. But the modern church growth movement says that we should dumb down the message in such a way that it's only a message for the lost and it's not a message for believers. You know, the church is for believers. Ecclesia, called out. That's what it means. But the true call of the gospel of Jesus Christ is that we should grow in His grace and knowledge. And by growing in His grace and knowledge, that we should grow deeper and deeper into the doctrines and truths of His Word, so that not only do we have those for ourselves, but we're ambassadors, right? Now, the way that you lay up treasures for yourself in heaven is that when you learn the Word and you dwell in the Word, and then you go out into society and you live, you are able to profess that Word and bear fruit. That's what life is all about. That's how we get to heaven and we get our reward. When you really think about the shortness of life and how a focus on materialism as you stand by a grave becomes so apparent. When you stand by a grave as someone who's focused on materialism and the temporal and the things of today, there's no lasting legacy, is there? Things are sold, split up, don't last. My friends, the only thing that we have that is lasting is our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and how we were a testimony to our families and how we walked with Christ. That's it. Everything else fades away. The Bible says it's all going to burn up. So if you know that, if you study His Word and you know that everything burns up, it should allow us to hold the things of this world a little bit more loosely. And as we focus on Jesus Christ, our grip on Him should become more tight, because we realize that that's what's important. That's what's lasting. What's our passion? What's in our heart? And what's in our mind? Jesus Christ asked that very question of His disciples. We should be asking it of ourselves. Would you please stand with me? With your head bowed and your eyes closed, let me ask you a question this morning. Last week, how did you serve Him? Did you read your Bible? Were you in His Word? Can you say that your life is a holy and acceptable sacrifice to God? And if that answer is no, just right where you're at this morning, just rededicate your life to Christ. Can you think back when you first accepted Jesus Christ and you had that zeal and commitment for Jesus, that you were committed to His cause, you were committed to the gospel? The world sometimes wears that away. Maybe you should recommit your life to Christ. Rediscover the joy of your salvation so that you can serve Him in His kingdom. If you're here this morning and you've never given your life to Christ, maybe you're not a Christ follower, that you've never asked for forgiveness of your sins, you've never repented
from your sins, if you've never done that, you can ask Jesus Christ for forgiveness today. You can repent from your sins. Recognize that He died on the cross and He rose from the grave for you. Ask Him into your heart to be Savior and Lord. If you've never done that, you can do that today. We'd like to know about it if you ask Jesus Christ in your heart so you can follow the Lord in believer's baptism and that we can disciple you on your new walk with the Lord. If you're not a Christian here today, don't delay. Our Father, we just praise You, Lord, that You've given us Your Word. We praise You that through salvation, we are not rehabilitated, but we are regenerated. And we have a new mind, a mind set on things above. And I pray, Lord, that we might be dedicated in Your kingdom, that we might give our life as a holy and acceptable sacrifice to You. I pray, Lord, that if there's someone here who needs to make a decision, that they'd do so in Jesus' name. With your head bowed and your eyes closed, is God calling you this morning? Is He speaking to you?